Welcome to another episode of Build with Bitcoin. I'm your co-host, Israel Munoz.
And I'm Lynn Bairstow, your co-host of Build with Bitcoin. Today we have a special episode. It's kind of unique because we now have had our first five episodes of the podcast, and we want to take a little look back and take a look at who our guests were, some of the key points they mentioned, and some of the synergies that we found between the different conversations.
And of these five episodes, Lynn, just to maybe highlight what we're talking about here, the first episode covers the introduction to Build with Bitcoin, the whole why behind it, a little more about both Lynn and myself. And then the other four episodes.
We were the special guests on the first episodes. Because I think there have been, I think it's important to know who we are and why we have this particular perspective and lens on the startup ecosystem in Bitcoin and also the investor ecosystem in Bitcoin. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the backgrounds of both Israel and myself, that's the episode to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And what makes this podcast content maybe a bit different to some of the other Bitcoin podcasts, you'll find all of that in the first episode, right? The focus of this show. And then we've had the honor of having a great set of first four guests after that, right? And it's a mix of startups and investors, specifically three companies in the space in different industries within the Bitcoin sector, a wallet, a payment experience, a miner from the investor side, an investment platform that's already launched four funds, Bob with his own fund apart from his business. So we've gotten some great perspective from the startup side as far as what an entrepreneur looks for in this space, the opportunities, and on the investor perspective, why is this attractive also from a financial side, and what makes investing in Bitcoin startups unique to traditional VC, right? So
I've been really so excited about the mix of guests that we've had and just really grateful. We want to thank each of our initial four guests because they're not only either startups or founders of startups or investors in the space, but they're really considered thought leaders in Bitcoin and the Bitcoin community and the larger Bitcoin space. So they contribute a lot more beyond the company they have and just how they think about Bitcoin, how they offer their time and attention to educating others about Bitcoin. So yeah, I think we've got some great guests. I'll take the first episode that we did since unfortunately, Israel, you were traveling at that time. And so that was a solo show between myself and Samson Mao. And that Samson is just one of the longer term thinkers in the Bitcoin space. And he really approached, I think some of the key takeaways there was thinking about adoption, like how adoption in Bitcoin grows. And Samson's company, Jan3, comes at it from two different perspectives, from top down and bottom up. Top down being the fact that he works with nation states all over the world, and most notably El Salvador. He was one of the advisors to President Bukele on their whole Bitcoin initiative when it was launched as legal tender, and then subsequently what they're doing at the Volcano Bond and just other different aspects of integrating Bitcoin into the public policy. And he's talking with a number of other nation states, but they also have the Aqua Wallet, which is a startup company for really grassroots adoption in emerging economies where many people rely not just on Bitcoin as a savings protocol, but also stable coins because they need access to US dollars. And so how they think about that product, how they integrate it, and how they really work at adoption from those two perspectives. So it was a super interesting conversation. And Israel, did you have takeaways from that conversation also?
Yeah, I agree. Having the content and Samson explained both their top-down and bottom-up approaches that you mentioned, Lynn, is made for a fascinating show. And, I got to tip my hat to the Aqua team and Samson. I really liked how, and of course, this is all explained in the episode, just how intuitive their user experience and approach to a Bitcoin wallet is as far as separating the savings account and the spending account. I mean, I think they've put a lot of thought into just how our brains function in a way, to put it that way, right? I mean, as far as just without getting into the technicalities behind Bitcoin, just taking a step back and looking at money, how we think of money, most of us, whether we know it or not, do separate those two categories, right? I mean, consciously or not, we have some money that we put aside to save, and we have some money that we just need in our day-to-day and basic month-to-month needs. So, you know, I don't know. I want to just make mention of that because it's covered in the episode, and what they've done with Aqua and their approach in Latin America is going to be, I think, a great, you know, a great case study as far as wallets are concerned.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, because I know you've probably done this. I do this. But if you want to introduce somebody to Bitcoin, first, the easiest, the best way is to send them some Bitcoin. So they have to set up a wallet. And I used to use Wallet of Satoshi, which is no longer operational in the U.S., or Moon Wallet. But now I use Aqua Wallet. It's very easy, very fast to set up. And I think it really gives a beautiful user experience for somebody. And it's so fast to send and receive. So I can just send some sats to somebody. And so it's my onboarding tool there, in addition to what I use. But I just think the user experience is super beautiful. And and Samson also kind of concludes the episode by talking about his personal experiences as a founder. I mean, he worked with Blockstream initially with Adam Back, I think the only individual mentioned by name in Satoshi's white paper where Bitcoin was actually introduced. So he's got a real pedigree when it comes to, you know, how long he's been in the Bitcoin space and who he's worked with in Bitcoin and how that shaped his approach toward the importance of adoption.
Yeah, I agree. So if anyone's interested in hearing the backstory of one of these early pioneers in the Bitcoin space and learning more about the wallet that they're developing at Gen 3, Aqua Wallet, give episode two a listen. And then the next guest we had was Parker Lewis from Zaprite. So I'll give my quick highlights as far as, you know, what was covered in that episode. Parker, another more recent voice in the Bitcoin space, but very prominent. Actually, just at a recent conference we were at, I actually heard someone asking him if he considered being a mayor of Austin in the near future. So he's clearly gaining some, you know, some popularity, and it's for a reason, right? I mean, I think Parker's a very deep thinker as well. That's very clear, and then comes through in the episode. Parker, I think, is also a very interesting perspective because he does come from one of these traditional finance backgrounds, right? So you can find all of that content in the episode, but it to me, it was quite interesting hearing what kind of got him to cross that chasm, if you will, from very traditional Wall Street to now being fully focused and immersed in Bitcoin, and specifically what they're doing at Zaprite, facilitating payments. It's well covered in the episode, along with what Parker views as a solution to inflation. You know, Bitcoin is often mentioned as a hedge, but Parker really does a good job explaining why it's not a hedge. It's a separate system, if you will, completely, right? So that provides a solution. And there's some great content there. And, you know, maybe, right, you mentioned Samson's adoption of Aqua Wallet earlier. Parker also highlighted some fast adoption. So to me, Lynn, one of the things that was, you know, quite exciting or fascinating to hear was both of them. So Aqua, Samson highlighted that Aqua to date, which is, you know, maybe we have updated numbers by the time we're recording this one, right? But as of recently, Aqua had already 25,000 organic installs since they launched Aqua, which was, you know, January of this year. Parker made mention to some of his adoption metrics as well, and he mentioned that since November of 23, also very recent, they've had 25% to 50% month over month growth as far as the transactions they're facilitating, both on count and volume. So, you know, it's, of course, we're very early and we're starting out with a small sample size, but I think it does speak to a whole lot, you know, hearing some of these startups mentioned to us the pace of their growth, right?
Yeah. And especially, you know, just in a few months. So these adoption, and they're very different markets too. So Aqua is really geared for an ultimate end user. And right now, an end user in more of an emerging economy where Parker's company, Zaprite, is their mission is to onboard businesses and to get businesses to have a really seamless payment experience and accept Bitcoin or US dollars or whatever their fiat currency is, but to make it an all-in-one portal for being able to accept it. And you know, you mentioned his talk, his presentation, and his paper that he wrote about Bitcoin is not a hedge. And as he gets into that a little deeper, and I love the way he thinks about this, it's you know, he really talks about, you know, what happened. It's not just an alternative asset that you're accepting, not just Bitcoin or dollars, but it's an alternative payment rail. And he talks about the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, which I know impacted a lot of startups, especially a lot of startups in LATAM, and who were lost without their banking relationship or their rails. So if you have a platform like Zaprite that can accept either or, and you have the affiliated system set up, a business, I think it becomes a way of actually mitigating your risk to have both a Bitcoin payment platform and a US dollar payment platform and have both. And so that's kind of the mission he's on. And, you know, coming from TradFi, as you mentioned, gives him that perspective of having worked in hedge funds on Wall Street, really understanding the traditional financial system that we operate in, and then seeing Bitcoin as a superior system, and then how to integrate those two together, I think has been some of the content that I thought was fascinating inside of that episode that Parker gives a perspective on.
Yeah, agreed. And so that can all be found in our third episode. Sort of that draws your attention. You know, make sure to check that one out. The next guest we had on was Grant from 1031. Lynn, what were some of your
Yeah,
highlights
great.
from that?
Well, you know, if you listen to one, you'll know that I am a former VC, or that was my most recent career was as a VC. I had my own VC fund. And so this conversation was absolutely fascinating to me because, you know, and even Parker mentioned this in the conversation. So Parker and Grant, the synergy between those two conversations is talking about traditional VC, how the model has really changed in recent years, and it's become really a chase for getting returns quickly, especially the way so many venture capital funds investing in the quote unquote crypto or Web3 space have tokenized the investments, where they get very rapid returns on the investment. And Grant explains how his fund, 1031, is a totally different approach to investing in a Bitcoin company. And in fact, they prefer, even though it's 1031.vc is their website, they prefer not to refer to themselves as a VC, but more as an investment platform that works to support the whole ecosystem of Bitcoin companies. And so they've made investments in 36 companies so far in the Bitcoin space and adjacent. And that includes everything from wallets and payment platforms to mining and to adjacent companies that support Bitcoin. But they also really, really work to add value by making introductions between the different companies, seeing where there's synergies that exist. And he explains that right now, Bitcoin is a super unique technology where a portfolio company, this portfolio of companies can really help support one another and drive growth, which we don't see as common in traditional tech investing today. But it did exist in the early days of Silicon Valley. And I think we're kind of seeing a kind of a version two of that in Bitcoin investing today. The whole conversation I found fascinating. Grant is just like one of the first people to really think about, he and 1031 and his partner Jonathan and their other partners, but to really think about a Bitcoin-focused fund and the importance that an investor who really is mission-driven about Bitcoin and who really understands the technology from a deep level, the value that they can add to a board of a company as it grows or to making the introduction. So it was, I mean, I was all about that conversation. So what were your takeaways, Israel?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, you hit on most of them, Lynn, but I'll just highlight, maybe re-highlight what you mentioned as far as Grant's perspective from, and he also comes from a very traditional finance background, right? I mean, he worked previously, and he speaks to this, is his background is more in private equity of some, you know, very established businesses with very solid cash flow. So, and sometimes what I hear a lot from the investment space and maybe traditional Wall Street space is some of the critiques as far as, you know, why is Bitcoin valuable? It doesn't have cash flow. It, you know, doesn't have intrinsic value. Some of these, you know, some of these things you hear critiqued about what Bitcoin is and why it has value. Grant has a pretty interesting perspective as far as coming from that private equity side and coming into the space with that mindset and skill set, and still so far having a very successful launch of 4 funds to date. And some of those other things you mentioned, Lynn, are just well covered in that episode. He also speaks to, from the investment lens or the finance lens, how do you view Bitcoin with compared to alternatives, right? He speaks to Bitcoin as the opportunity cost to invest in, right? So there's just some great takes there. I agree, and especially with a very nascent still venture capital scene in Bitcoin only companies, this is an episode not to miss if you're interested in that content.
Yeah, that whole investment perspective, because I think, and you brought this up, Bitcoin as the opportunity cost. I think just to drill down on that a little bit, because in traditional tech investing, you've got dollars or you've got the tech company that you're investing in. And so it's a pretty sure bet that your dollars are going to lose value over time. And so you are looking to make investments in alternative asset classes that can give appreciation. But in Bitcoin, that's not the case. So you really, you know, most of the podcasts and content out there is based on Bitcoin, the digital asset, and it's appreciated in value more consistently and at higher levels than any other asset class over the last 12 years. And so, you know, when you're looking at making an investment in a Bitcoin company and you're familiar with Bitcoin, you really are thinking, well, will I do better in investing in this VC fund or in this company than I would in just holding Bitcoin? And so that has a totally different dynamic than we've ever seen before. But the flip side of that is, and I really love this part of the conversation with Grant, and we also get into it with Bob, our fifth guest, or fifth episode, Bob Burnett. But it's the fact that we might start thinking about venture investing in a totally different way, because if we're investing in a Bitcoin company and that Bitcoin company is either transacting in Bitcoin or holding Bitcoin on their balance sheet or has some of their intrinsic value of the company related directly to Bitcoin, they could be looking at an appreciation beyond the value of their business, but the assets of their business that are tied to Bitcoin. And that could potentially preclude them from needing to raise later rounds of funding that we see in traditional tech. And so we've never seen this whole appreciation asset scenario that we have in Bitcoin. So we're on frontier territory right now. And that's why I love these conversations that we're having and a whole different way of thinking about investing in Bitcoin companies and in traditional tech.
Yeah, no, and thanks for drilling down on that point, Link, because it really is kind of flipping traditional investing on its head, right? So there's a lot to take away from some of those conversations. And then our most recent guest, Bob Burnett, both as a startup entrepreneur and also with a very interesting entrepreneurial background before that, right? And then also as an investor, as he manages a fund as well. We got a little bit of both ends of the spectrum there. So what were some of your highlights there, Lynn?
Well, I mean, Bob is one of my favorite people in the Bitcoin space. I admire him tremendously because I think Bob, more than almost any other person I know of in the space, really spends the time thinking about where Bitcoin is going, not just in the next year, and not Bitcoin the asset, but Bitcoin the technology, like where it's going in the next 5, 10, 100 years. And he looks at what are the potential technology issues that it might run up against or things that we need to be looking for. even from regulatory attack vectors or whatever, you know, what are the sensitivities that Bitcoin has? So I think it's a great way of looking at it. Bob's background as the former CTO of Gateway Computer, I mean, he was at the forefront of the laptop computing revolution when that occurred. And so he's got a level of perspective that you really do not find in early stage tech on a very frequent basis. And I think that's why he has so many ideas. And I think his biggest issue is the limitation of his own time, because the gems he came out with and the ideas that he was tossing out in our interview just showed that beyond the mining, which is so core to Bitcoin, that he's involved with Barefoot Mining, and then also with his investment in Ocean Mining, you know, he thinks deeply about that, but also about limitations of block space and how he's looking at solving that problem, or at least facilitating it by locking in block space access and price through a futures exchange, one of his future projects. And he just has a big brain thinking about big issues in Bitcoin and then creating solutions to solve them. So it's a fascinating conversation of how somebody with that perspective thinks about both starting a company and meeting the needs of Bitcoin development and development in a very thoughtful and secure way that really protects the Bitcoin blockchain, and then implementing those ideas into companies. So, it's a powerful combination.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a pretty rare to get someone who, like Bob, who has lived through and worked through the entire adoption life cycle of a previously revolutionary technology. I mean, there's just not that many people out there who can speak to, you know, how that was from start to finish. And Bob clearly has lived through a lot as far as the personal computer industry adoption curve goes. I mean, you know, he mentions he's worked with some names that all of us know. You know, he mentions Bill Gates, Nvidia, you know, his recent investment with Ocean that Jack Dorsey was also involved with. So you can just tell that Bob has quite a unique, you know, background and level of experience under his belt, and getting his take on Bitcoin as a technology and why it's so worth it for him and why there's still so much opportunity made for a fantastic episode as well.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, all with incredible humility and that sense of integrity that really comes from wanting to protect the big picture of Bitcoin. So that's, I mean, there could be other people out there that have a similar network or a perspective, but just to have it in that humble and very mission-driven, purpose-driven way that Bob has, I think just makes him a real special person in the Bitcoin space. And that episode is just a great one, I think, to listen to get some great ideas about where everything is going.
Yeah, I agree. And he shares some just very honest and candid advice. So, you know,
about getting started. For those who are not yet in the Bitcoin space, if you want to get started in either investing or as a startup, his advice is golden.
Bigger themes, Lynn. I don't know about you. For me, I mean, this is simplifying it a lot, but just kind of going through these initial guests, to me, it's clear that we're still very early in the adoption life cycle. There's a very interesting and curious perspective as an investor, whether you do it professionally or just personally, how do you view Bitcoin and Bitcoin startups? It's clear that transition is happening in just how you think through returns. And Bitcoin is my safe investment, right? I mean, it's a bit ironic because people usually associate it with this very risky mindset and being very just a bit crazy if you're investing in Bitcoin. And through these conversations, it's clear that that's actually, it's kind of on the other end of the spectrum, right? It's a very conservative approach to a certain extent if you look at the risks in the current system. So to me, the two main highlights would be it's very early, and there's still plenty of opportunity, and Bitcoin is becoming the safe investment. What any themes you would point to?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because most, I think, if not all 3 out of 4 of our guests came from traditional financial backgrounds and or traditional backgrounds and have moved into Bitcoin. And they're all, I mean, these are all individuals that are operating for profit, very, you know, capitalistic centric businesses, you know, so working, driving success, but there's also a bigger sense of mission. So I think it's very common once you study Bitcoin for, you know, 100 hours, I think the more you study it, the more committed you become, like you and I have become, about sharing perspectives of Bitcoin as a technology. But these individuals all really have a purpose beyond it, taking a long-term approach to making a successful company and making one that really makes a difference in the world and that really helps drive adoption or creates better tools or provides different long-term benefits to Bitcoin. So I love seeing that mission-driven perspective that each of these individuals have brought to the table.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you touched on that point actually, then, because maybe just kind of taking a step back, of course, this is all interesting from an intellectual lens or from an investment lens. And of course, there's plenty of opportunity. What you're mentioning as far as the mission behind it hits, you know, I think it hits deep because, and both of us can attest to this, right? I mean, I'll just kind of speak to myself now. I stay so involved in this space, not only because of the, you know, intellectual aspect and the opportunity that's there, but because I do also see that deep sense of mission, right? I do see this technology helping bring society to just a more prosperous future and leaving a system that's kind of leaving a lot of people with a sense of hopelessness as far as you're just kind of, you're in a game that you can't get out of and you're fighting against the current and you're not even sure how, but your purchasing power is being eroded. Anyways, you know, there's plenty to speak to there, but the mission behind it, I'm glad you mentioned it because I think for both of us, it's kind of core to why we also are dedicating our time and energy into this space.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think there has been a growing pervasive sense that there's something wrong in the world. And a lot of that is tied to the current financial system. And so I certainly agree with you. The more I know about and learn about and study Bitcoin, the more I see it as that beacon of hope that can really help lift everybody up and provide more opportunity and more equal chances for people to succeed. And so the people building the tools and those who are supporting those building on Bitcoin and with Bitcoin, I think, you know, that's what we want to support. So yeah, that's a good start. Yeah.
So maybe wrapping up, summarizing episode 1, if you want to learn a little more about Lynn and I's background and why we're doing Build with Bitcoin, what it's about. Episode 2 will cover a wallet in the space, Samson Mo with AquaWallet. Episode 3 covers a payment facilitator. That's the conversation with Parker Lewis. Episode 4 covers an investment platform, VC/investment platform. I don't want to get too into the naming, but very interesting episode as well, as from someone who's worked in traditional finance, private equity, and now runs an investment platform that actively supports Bitcoin companies. That's with Grant Gilliam from 1031. And episode 5 with Bob Burnett, Barefoot Mining, also runs an investment fund. Please go back and listen to any of these topics that are particularly interesting to you. Support us, share, build with Bitcoin. buildwithbitcoin.xyz is the website. What else, Lynn?
No, we just really appreciate everyone listening to us. And since we are new, in order to help other people find this content, please do remember to like or share or comment or engage with us on X, Twitter, X/Twitter, and share your opinions. And feel free to also send us a direct message on that platform. If there's a guest that you'd like to see, if you have a company that you'd like to be featured on there, or you are an investor in the space, we are, you know, really looking at other companies and interviews that we'll be reaching out to. So all comments are welcome and feedback is most welcome. So thanks again for listening.